Good morning. Hi there. I'm Erica. I wanted to see if you would sing a song with me, if I could teach you a song. It's not in our hymnals, and sort of warm up our bodies and warm up the space. I should say, if you don't feel like singing yet, you can sit there and let the song just unfold around you and breathe. And so you have a choice here. This is a song by Molly Hartwell, and it has different versions. So if you go looking for it, you might not find this one. But it's going to take a little bit of time because I'm going to go slowly. So if you could help everyone learn it together by letting me sing when I do this and then you sing when I do this, that'll sort of make it easier. Can we try it? Let me give you just the first words before I sing. Put your roots down, put your feet on the ground. You.
Put your roots down, put your feet on the ground.
Put your roots down, put your feet on the ground.
Put your roots down, put your feet on the ground.
Put your roots down, put your feet on the ground. You
put your roots down, put your feet on the ground.
Put your roots down, put your feet on the ground.
Put your roots down, put your feet on the ground.
You can hear the earth sing if you listen. You can hear the earth sing if you listen. You can hear the earth sing if you listen. You can hear the earth sing if you listen. Put your roots down, put your feet on the ground. You can hear the earth sing if you listen.
You
put your roots down, put your feet on the ground. You can hear the earth sing if you listen. Do it again. Put your roots down, put your feet on the ground. You can hear the earth sing if you listen. Again. Put your roots down, put your feet on the ground. You can hear the earth sing if you listen. 'Cause the sound of the river, 'cause the sound of the river, 'cause the sound of the river, 'cause the sound of the river. Listen. 'Cause the sound of the river, 'cause the sound of the river as it moves across the stones, as it moves across the stones. 'Cause the sound of the river, 'cause the sound of the river as it moves across the stones, as it moves across the stones. 'Cause the sound of the river as it moves across the stones. 'Cause the sound of the river as it moves across the stones is the same sound. You, yeah,
the same sound
is the same sound.
Same sound
as the blood in your body as it moves across your bones. As the blood in your body as it moves across
your bones.
I'll slow it down. 'Cause the sound of the river, 'cause the sound of the river as it moves across the stones, as it moves across the stones, is the same sound as the blood in your body. Is the same sound as the blood in your
body
as it moves across your bones, as it moves across your bones. Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening? Keep repeating after me. Put your roots down, put your feet on the ground.
Put your roots down, put your feet on the ground.
You can hear the earth sing if you listen.
You can hear the earth sing if you listen.
Let's sing it together.
Put your roots down, put your feet on the ground. You can hear the earth sing if you listen.
'Cause the sound of the river as it moves across the stones. 'Cause the sound of the river as it moves across the stone.
Is the same sound as the blood in your body as it moves across your bones.
Is the same sound as the blood in your body as it moves across your bones.
Are you listening?
Are you listening?
Let's sing that. Are you listening?
Are you listening? Are you listening?
Let's sing it all together. Put your roots.
Put your roots down. Put your feet on.
You can hear.
You can hear the earth sing if you listen.
Repeat that part.
Put your roots down. Put your feet on the ground. You can hear the earth sing if you listen.
The sound of the river. Because
the sound of the river
as it moves.
As it moves across the stones.
Same sound is the
same sound as the blood in your body as it moves across your bones.
Are you listening? 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 Again, are you listening? Last time, are you listening? Take a breath. Welcome to this morning. Welcome to this day.
Good morning, and welcome to the West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, also known as WUF. My name is Brad Hewitt. I use the pronouns he and him. It's my delight to be your lay leader with you this morning. I bid you welcome. Whether you're here in person or watching online, you're welcome in this place, regardless of the color of your skin, the amount of money you have, the job you have or don't have, the home you have or don't have. We affirm your spiritual practices, and we affirm if you have none. You're also welcome regardless of whom you love and how you identify your gender, if you do. You're welcome whether your heart is full or if your heart is empty and you're hurting right now. We are so grateful you are part of this time together in our beloved community of compassion and conscience. I'd like to issue a special welcome today. We have one of the founding members of WUF who has made it out to see us today. Helen Platt is here in the front row. So if you know Helen, say hi to her later. She's going to... Thank you for coming. Just a reminder, Sunday services are offered both in person and online. In our efforts to care for all of our members and visitors, we offer three ways to participate in person in addition to online. Number one, in the sanctuary where the masking today and is requested, and certainly after that strongly encouraged on a regular Sunday. Two, on screen from Forest Hall, where masking is also required both during and after the service. And third, on screen from the coffee room downstairs, where masking is optional and there is space to move around if you need a little extra space. For our online viewers, we offer a follow-up online coffee hour, as we call it, for socializing and just kind of talking about the service. It's a great place to gather. And then here, if you're in the sanctuary or in the church, we offer an in-person coffee hour downtime afterwards. Time to just share what's going on with you today about the service or in life. Indoors, and we have a patio as weather, warmer weather is coming eventually. Today, I'd like to excitedly welcome our guest minister, whom you all got to meet. Reverend Erica Hewitt uses the pronouns she and her. She lives in Maine, but her family has lived in the Pacific Northwest for three generations. She serves as the Minister of Worship Arts for our Unitarian Universalist Association. She is delighted to visit WUF for the very first time today. I'd like to note that it is quite likely the only time in history that you will have Hewitt and Hewitt conducting a service at WUF. Even though she spells her name wrong, it's okay. So we'll take a few moments. Please stand up. Greet any old friends. Greet any new friends. Just take a few moments.
One of the most beautiful things about love is that it's an experience that connects us to all people of all through time and around the world. And yet to every person who falls in love with a partner or a child or a community, love is the most unique and special thing in the world. A really powerful truth about suffering and pain is that it's an experience that we share with all people around the world through all time. And we know that day after day, week after week, new forms of pain and suffering are inflicted on our human family. We are changing the order of service slightly this morning to simply begin and acknowledge the sobering, painful reality of more than 30,000 dead in Turkey and Syria, acknowledging our lack of power to do much, and yet choosing not to turn away or tune out, but rather to bear witness to that suffering. And so instead of a spoken chalice lighting, I would ask you to join me in a moment of silence. Of silence to acknowledge our interconnection, our empathy, our compassion, our willingness to feel the pain that we see and hear of happening in those countries, and we know in many other places. Join me, please, however that feels inside of your body, as we make this time and this place sacred through that solidarity and empathy. May the light of this flame compel us to keep our hearts open even when they feel stretched or bruised. May they remind us that bearing witness is a form of solidarity and love. And may we move into this service holding both and, the reality of pain and the glory and beauty of love.
Please join me in saying our affirmation. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful and what is wondrous. Let us open our minds to learn what is true and what is mysterious. And let us open our hearts to love one another and our neighbors.
I like to, near the beginning of worship, offer a guiding text or two to provide us with a North Star, a point toward which we might travel, knowing that we never arrive. And this morning's guide, I have two texts that we are grounding the service in. One is from the late Bell Hooks, who was a black author and social activist, and one from David Rico, who is a white psychotherapist informed by Buddhism.
Spiritual life is first and foremost about commitment to a way of thinking and behaving that honors principles of interbeing and interconnectedness.
Let's go back to the Bell Hooks quote. Just notice if there is a word that particularly strikes a bell in you. Just notice that. And the second quote by David Rico. Love works automatically at times, but mostly it works because we work on it. Whatever does not work requires work. Since every adult has things to work on, refusal to work is the equivalent of reluctance to relate as an adult. And again, just notice if there are words or phrases that somehow light up for you. Now, these texts give rise to questions that we might hold throughout this time. They're questions that you might answer differently today than you would next week or next month. But I invite you to hold these questions, which you will hear again later in the service. Here are the two questions. In which of my relationships do I most readily or easily honor interconnectedness? In which of my relationships do I most readily, most easily honor interconnectedness? The second question is, in which of my relationships do I feel reluctance or resentment about doing the work of love? In which of my relationships do I feel reluctance or resentment about doing the work of love? I invite those questions to sit in you and to go with you even beyond the sanctuary this morning. It's hard to do that in a mask, isn't it? So thank you for doing it nonetheless. Are there children who would like to come forward for a conversation? It can be a little scary if you don't know the person, but I'm actually going to talk to everyone of all ages. But it's nice to have... Thank you for coming up. Thank you, Julian. Okay, I would like to conduct a little survey. I want to hear from some of you about love, and we're going to just see if we can come to some takeaways. Okay, here's my question. What can other people do for you that makes you feel cared for and safe and happy? What can other people in your life do for you that makes you feel cared for or seen or safe or happy? Is there anyone who would raise their hand? Julian, what's your answer?
My parents.
Your parents? Is there anything they do? Mm. Or is it just like the being as your parents? The being. That, wow, you are getting to the heart of presence and the fact that we are human beings, not human doings. Ah, there's our sermon for the day. Who else has an answer? Something that makes you feel, yeah, Sarah. Coffee in the morning. What about coffee in the morning?
That
someone brings you coffee in the morning. We got to get the verb in there. What else do people do that? Yes, go ahead.
Listening.
Do you want to say about the qualities of listening or what the kind of listening is?
Listening to your thoughts, feelings, or concerns.
Listening to thoughts, feelings, and concerns, right? In a deep way, not like but like a. Listening to thoughts, feelings, concerns. Well, there's a hand over here. Yes, go ahead.
Help you take a break.
Help you take a break. Okay, so like spelling you, saying, oh, you look like you need to rest. I got this for you. I'm tapping in so you can tap out. I'm sort of embroidering on your answer. Okay, thank you. Who else? Yes, go ahead.
Someone to
say everything's going to be okay. Oh, you held hands when you said that. I love it. I think Uwe is that person for you. Who else has an answer that they're willing to share? Yeah.
Someone who makes
you food when you're too tired. Someone who makes you... Do you notice how some of these answers... We're all like, oh, yeah, me too. But some of the answers are very specific, right? For example, let's get into the complexity. I don't drink coffee. So if Sarah loves to have coffee brought to her in the morning, right, what would happen if I were staying at Sarah's house and I don't drink coffee and she thought, oh, I want to show Erica love, so I'm going to bring her coffee. Would that be exactly... the way I feel loved?
No.
Right? Because she doesn't know that about me. Is it okay that I'm using this as example?
Yes.
Right? Uh-huh. So what is the golden rule? Julian, do you know what the golden rule is? Who knows what the golden rule is? Someone, yes, go ahead, Molly.
You would hope that they would do unto you.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The golden rule doesn't work perfectly when it comes to showing love, does it? Because there's a different rule that sometimes people call the platinum rule.
What makes me feel, what you're paying attention does that for me?
Paying attention does that for Julian's dad. Makes him feel cared about and safe.
Because things change.
Because things change. Thank you. Yes?
A lot of the other person needs, feels, and wants, I would suggest.
Right. So we've got a takeaway. A lot of these have to do with compassion and empathy. One of my takeaways is sometimes, as you know, Molly told us the golden rule, sometimes it's not really about treating other people the way you want to be treated. It's about getting to know and learn and understand someone so that we can offer them what they need. And what's the term we use in our culture to as a category for all of these things? Two words, both start with L.
Love language.
Love language. Right. So we have to learn about people to do this, and some of these are very unique, and some of them apply to all of us. So I'll be talking a lot more about that to the grown-ups later today, but that was a great, great way to start. Thank you if you were willing to share. And we're now going to sing the children out, if you would.
Today we are reminded that we are shaded by trees we did not plant. We sit on chairs we did not build. And we're likely warmed by clothing that we did not make. Our lives exist because of the actions of others. Or the quality of our lives exists because of the actions of others. Today, as you consider those actions, please consider the actions and gifts you may desire to provide to our WOOF community. One of those gifts, I keep forgetting to take my mask off because it's so nice for a minute. If one of those gifts is monetary support, those of you who are here in person may contribute to a collection basket in the foyer. Well, no, you don't. We actually have them live. If you're watching on screen, you'll see instructions for how to donate. Thank you for your gifts and support of our congregation. Please join me in our affirmation of gratitude and giving. Let us be grateful when we are able to give, for many do not have that privilege. Let us be grateful for all those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. And let us be grateful even for our needs, so that we may learn from the generosity of others.
One of the things that makes this space and this time sacred or imbued with reverence is being able to witness all that you are bringing to this service. That table's for something else later. This table and this bowl of water serves to receive your stones of joy, of sorrow, of hope, of fear. As Betsy plays and you come forward without speaking, you are welcome to place a stone in here to allow us to, again, bear witness, to hold, to be the community that receives and holds all that you bring, just as this water holds each stone that is dropped in. Before we share some loving silence, if there is a name or a place that is connected to your stone or to the spinal stone that I'll place in, I invite you to just whisper or speak that name out loud into this room. So I invite you to get comfortable in your body in whatever way will allow you to go into some stillness or silence. You don't have to hold still. Stillness is about making that space in us for the chatter and the noise in our minds to drop away and maybe hear a gentler, wiser voice emerge. So if that begins with the breath, you might let your shoulders drop and let your breath move more freely. And we'll be in the silence for a little bit, and I'll tell you more. if your mind doesn't know what to do in the silence, again, come into your body and feel your breath or your heartbeat or the loosening of the muscles in your shoulders or jaw. We'll take a few more breaths together in that silence. I'm going to invite you to channel your meditative thought, your memories into an experience that is an ancient spiritual practice. And I'll guide you along the way. If for any reason this doesn't work for you, you can tune me out. I'm going to ask you to go back through your memory of the past week, maybe more, and in no particular order, remember places you went, conversations you had, interactions. And as you sift through those memories, I'm going to ask you to silently identify moments of feeling cared for, included, understood, loved. So when in your past week did another person help you feel like you belonged? Help you? When did they help you feel like you matter? That you're a gift? Notice whether you had any interactions that just made you feel like it was so easy to be kind, so easy to be grateful, so easy to be generous. And if you're going back further than a week, that's fine. I just want you to fill up your mind with those memories of what it felt like to be seen or known or loved. I'm going to add another layer to this and ask you to be very gentle with yourself and do something different, which is to go back through your past week or more, those same interactions, same memories, and notice moments when another person helped you feel, made you feel disconnected. Or pushed away. Allow yourself to notice any memories of feeling like you had to shut down or close the door or put on armor. Moments where maybe it was very difficult to be kind or generous. And then breathe and let go of guilt or shame. This is not about guilt or shame. It's about noticing. Take just another few breaths. And expand your awareness to both sets of those memories. Maybe you had a week where every day you had a moment of connection, of love, of joy with another person, and maybe every day there was also an experience of feeling shut down or ignored or forgotten or hurt because we're human. May these observations, may noticing help light the path forward so that as we enter a new week, we have awareness about how we find love and connection, how we might avoid disconnect or betrayal or hurt, and how we care for ourselves and speak to ourselves with compassion and loving kindness when we know that we bear some responsibility, with a willingness to forgive ourselves and perhaps forgive others, and always giving thanks for this gift of being human and getting to be human together in community. May it be so. I want to acknowledge that it can be really hard when your expectations and what you're used to changes. So if the changes in today's service are hard for you, thank you for being present to them. I want to especially thank you all for the welcome you've given me. Brad, as your ambassador, has been a joy to work with, and to get to know your fellowship through our work is wonderful. And of course, Reverend Tracy, you trusted her to invite me here, and I thank you for that. I am going to possibly break a very important rule that I try to live by in the service of truth-telling. One of the rules that I try to live by is don't yuck anyone else's yum. Right? I believe that if you have a simple pleasure, something that brings you joy, I am not going to make fun of it or be snarky about it, because we all need joy and pleasure. And it's important for me to say what I'm about to say, because origin stories sometimes help us understand things in new ways. And by that I mean when we go to the birth story or the origin narrative about a phenomenon, a thing, sometimes it tells us about who benefits and who was it created to support and center. And what was the motivation behind it? So as just for example, the more and more that we as white people learn about the true origins of the founding of this country, the more we can uncover all of the ways that white supremacy culture is built into the fabric of this country, for example. But I'm going to use a milder example. In the Time for All Ages, we mentioned love languages, and of course, it's coming up on Valentine's Day, so you're going to hear a lot about love languages. And what's important for me to tell you is that, does anyone know who came up with the five love languages? Gary Chapman. Gary Chapman was a pastor who developed in 1992 what has become a worldwide phenomenon, has sold billions of books, that's not an exaggeration, naming five love languages. Now, I'm not even going to get into this because I don't want to give this guy more airtime than I already have given him, but here's what I want you to know. Gary Chapman is a very, very conservative, some would say fundamentalist Christian, who has a track record of being homophobic, who developed the five languages out of his work counseling couples in his church, and because his church was conservative, some would say fundamentalist Christian, those couples fit into a very rigid box and norms. Cisgender, heterosexual, long-term marriages, right? There's lots of ways to experience love beyond those. And so this really sort of came alive for me when I was listening to We Can Do Hard Things, the podcast with Glennon Doyle and her wife and her sister. Yes, we can do hard things. So Glennon says about the five love languages, what I would suggest possibly is that the goal was not necessarily to know each other deeply, but to keep people in Christian marriage. Right? And another writer, educator, says, countless readers, especially queer and transgender folks, struggled to see themselves in their original five and felt left out and ignored. Speaking for myself, this is Anne Hodership, I don't want to learn about love from someone who thinks the experience of love is simple and straightforward enough to categorize into five inflexible languages and leave it unchanged for 3 decades. Right? Now, love, I just want to say, is an action. I see love as a choice. I believe love is a practice. And love is incredibly sometimes personal. Sarah mentioned being brought coffee in bed, and I made a big thing of that. I just want you to know that this morning when I woke up, my partner back home in Maine had sent me a video of an elusive 8-foot giant squid off the coast of Japan. Because he knew that it would make me feel loved. Because I love cephalopods, right? Because I'm a nerd. So love can be very, the way we experience love, it can take myriad forms, creative forms, and it changes over time, doesn't it? We change as people. As I change and grow, the way that I experience love is going to change and grow. And as I learn more and more about myself, all of us, I hope, are on this lifelong journey of learning and growing as people and self-awareness about ourselves. The more I learn about myself, the better I can name, articulate my needs, my desires. Hey, this is what it feels like to be loved. And I should say, as I get older, I am more easily to recognize, as Nina Simone says, when love is no longer being served, and know when to just get up and leave the table. Am I right?
Yeah.
Right. So it's important to me in talking about love, and I, first of all, have to say, I'm not just talking about romantic love. You could apply this word in any way that makes sense in your life. Family. Maybe you have a really great workplace. Maybe you have a really great community besides this one. So as I talk about love, please use your imagination to just go way beyond the traditional couple romantic love. So are there all these ways that we show love, that we feel loved? Those ways change and grow. They're never necessarily all the same. And I can't ever talk about love without acknowledging that it is very hard and messy and complicated sometimes. Because we're human. I miss the mark all the time. I flub opportunities to demonstrate love all the time. And maybe you do too. I don't know. Maybe you're all a little bit more enlightened than I am. But I also think it's very interesting that as our culture changes, we've developed new terms and new ways of recognizing hurtful occurrences, phenomenon, ways that we let each other down. And those are the opportunities where we get to have some choice and agency. So here's what I mean by that. And I'm just going to go into a very brief story about my life. Raise your hand if you've heard the term ghosting. Okay, great. If you haven't heard about ghosting, here's what I want you to know. It's not the same thing as losing touch with someone. Okay? We lose touch with people all the time. I had a friend call me in September and say, "We haven't spoken for years. I'm so sorry." I said, "No, I'm so sorry. She said, I love it." We stayed on the phone for 2.5 hours. That's not ghosting. Ghosting is when you are in a relationship with someone and one day you are in communication and you are connected and there's trust, and the next day someone makes a deliberate choice to stonewall and disappear and shut off all communication with no explanation. If you are brave enough to say that you know this happens, could you say yes? Because when people hear about this for the first time, sometimes they say, "That's ridiculous. There's no way that could actually happen." It happens. If this has happened to you, can you be brave and say, if you think it hurts, say it hurts?
It hurts.
It really hurts. Someone I was had a lifelong friendship with. We were like sisters. I can remember going to sleepovers at her house when I was 10, 11. Lifelong friend, 5 years ago, just chose not to ever recite. I left her house. I sent her a text to thank you after a visit. Never heard from her again. Yeah, so this happens. We finally have come up with the term ghosting to talk about the ways that something that's loving and trusting can evaporate, disappear, and worse, sometimes we never know why. And sometimes we know that we bear responsibility, and sometimes we just keep asking why. So in those moments when we realize how hard it is to love, it's really hard for me to send loving kindness to that lifelong friend who hasn't spoken to me to 5 years. It's really hard for me to feel love toward my neighbor for various reasons back at home. It's hard for me to feel love toward people who have intentionally tried to harm me. Right? So what do we do when we know that we're struggling? That's a whole other sermon. But I want to say that I have found one of the most powerful tools, besides, few powerful tools. One is to discover as a spiritual practice the capacity to just sit with and be with how much it hurts. Because there are so many ways for us to check out. And for me, spiritual practice is about anything that connects us to ourselves and to the great interconnection of mystery. The second thing is when I'm really feeling like a victim. And I, you know, when we tell our stories of being hurt, the story is always about our authentic, genuine victimhood. What I've noticed about when I tell the story of being hurt is that slowly, when I tell the story over and over and over to different people, slowly I can start to find more agency. I have no control over what she did to me, but what do I have choices about? I have control over not shutting down my heart altogether and wisely choosing who to invest trust in, who's still in my life. I have agency about not resorting to revenge or getting back at or name calling when someone hurts me. I have choices about my own integrity and who I want to be and the values I want to demonstrate in moving forward through pain. And of course, it's always a spiritual practice, and it's a wondrous one, to choose back, to turn back toward love, and to believe that it's possible, even though we might have felt wounded by it. And I'll just say that for me, I have found that the opposite of being a victim is a person who has agency, which doesn't deny all the hurt that's happened to you, even if you did not deserve it. But it means their agency is this inherent sacred wholeness about you being both lovable and loving. You all know something about this. And you might be having people flash through your mind as I talk. So before I go on, I would like to give us space to sit with this. There's a bowl of water here. There's a bowl of flower petals. And there's a bowl of salt. As Betsy plays, I invite you to come forward or raise your hand. Brad is the mobile unit. Brad is going to come to you if you cannot or don't want to get up. He has his own bowl of water and salt and petals. If there is a relationship you are feeling grateful for, I invite you to take a flower petal and drop it in the water. And if there is a rupture, a betrayal, a hurt that you are carrying, I invite you to take some salt to represent tears you might have shed and to drop that in the water. Or both. Let's be with each other's unspoken stories for a few minutes. So many stories here. Do you need to say any names out loud? Go ahead. So interesting to see these rose petals and their little forming little cups to hold salt. It's just like a snapshot of the true story of relationships. Love is an action, love is a choice, and love is a practice. I started by telling you one origin story, and I said that sometimes origin stories help us learn things we maybe didn't want to know, but sometimes origin stories remind us who we are and whose we are, and they're joyful stories. Not perfect, but joyful. And the origin story I want to tell you today is just a reminder that when each of us chose to become a Unitarian, we who are UUs, if you're visiting, you might not feel like a Unitarian Universalist, that's okay. But we who are UU each made a choice at some point. Even if we were raised UU, we made a choice to be Unitarian Universalists. And when we did, we were signing on to nearly four centuries of a tradition that grounded itself in loving one another before anything else. Long story short, when the Puritans came to this country, and, you know, I just mentioned at the top of my homily, there are real problems with white settler colonialism and coming to this country. I get that. When the Puritans came here from England, they were not fleeing strict theology. They were fleeing strict control about who was in charge and how much say they had and how much freedom they had. And after about a decade or two, their churches in New England gathered together and created an agreement that is the framework for who we are today, about how we are together and how we make decisions. This is the document they wrote in 1648. Isn't this in great shape for a book written in 1648? It's called the Cambridge Platform, and it all boiled down to this. We govern ourselves, not the monarch, not the bishop. We govern ourselves. We choose how to be together, and what we choose to do is say that we will walk together in love. And almost four centuries later, this is the ethos that moves and lives and breathes and evolves in our UU congregation. And today we use what word to describe our agreements to love one another? Covenant. Covenant. And it's this sort of, there's this both and. It's this generic, we will love and respect one another, and we know that that's a container for all of the ways that as individuals we have quirks, we have needs, we have preferences, and we get to sort all of that out. Mm-hmm. So Alice Blair Wesley, she was not from the 1640s. She's from, you know, this century. Explains this in this way, and this is my favorite way to describe who we are. Ours is a covenantal church, translate that if you don't like the church word. Ours is a covenantal church. We join by promising one another that we will be a beloved community, meeting together often to find the ways of love as best we can see to do. We have found there is always more to learn about how love really works and could work in our lives and in the world. And so my charge to you this morning is to take all that you have remembered and held and experienced today and go forward, promising to yourself and maybe to each other that you and I and we together will keep learning about how love works and how love could work in our lives and in our world. May it be so.
These are the words of David Rico. What makes us human beings is what makes us human beings. So uniquely wonderful in this puzzling universe is that we never give up on love.
Against all odds, with no guarantee of being loved in return, out of all the hate and hurt so often handed us in the face of the sad suffering history has let us see, we go on loving.
With deep respect, we're worthy for this capacity of ours to make love out of anything and to let it last.
Go celebrating your capacity to love, your willingness to love, and all of the ways that that moves through you as a practice. Go in peace.
I will extinguish this flame, but not the vision and compassion of our faith. May they stay with you until we meet again.